Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Where you want to be listening to us. It's BK and Ferrario live from the Car Shield studio on 101 ESPN.
With Alex Ferrario, I'm Brandon Kiley, and right now we're getting the national perspective on the St. Louis Blues. All year, Alex has been very frustrated by the fact that nationally people are not respecting the Blues the way that they need to, and we are going to correct that by talking with Dan Rosen, the senior writer for NHL.com, and he's the host of the NHL's The Rink podcast. You can also follow him on Twitter, at DRosenNHL. Dan, thanks so much for hopping on with us today. I am curious, what has been your perspective of the Blues' 5-0 start to the season?
Surprised, actually. And I'm kind of kicking myself that I am surprised, but I wondered. I was among those in the national perspective wondering about the Blues this season. I thought that they were a middle, we'll see where it goes, that they were a middle-of-the-pack Central Division team, kind of lumped in. I thought it was Colorado at the top, Arizona at the bottom, and six teams kind of lumped in the middle there, Minnesota, Winnipeg, Nashville, Dallas, St. Louis, you know, like trying to figure out who would kind of the case. But a 5-0 start puts you ahead of the game, no question about it. Where I have been super impressed with them, yes, the offense has been great. I mean, they, you know, seven goals, and then a couple of games with three. But it's the way they're keeping the puck out of the net a lot of times. The goals against, I think that they have allowed, what is it now? Somewhere in the neighborhood of, I'm trying to look at it, 11 goals, and I think six are in the third period, but a couple of those are in garbage time.
Yeah.
They have a big lead. That is impressive. That is a stick-to-itiveness that Craig Berube's teams in St. Louis have been have had an identity of playing the consistent game from start to finish, and we're seeing that from them right now. You know, the schedule is what it is. I mean, you get a game against Arizona early, that helps. Two against LA early, and that helps. But they did play Colorado, and they did play Vegas. Now, they played Vegas, I think, without a couple of their big guns, and Colorado without McKinnon. So you get lucky. Lucky is good sometimes. And, you know, I've been impressed and I guess somewhat surprised. But, you know, we'll see. They got a four-game road trip coming up. Not against any like crazy daunting opponents. Winnipeg's probably the best team on that road trip that they got coming up, but four games in a row on the road. So you got to see if you can figure out and keep it going. But I like what I'm seeing so far. No question about it. They're proving people like me wrong right now.
Dan, what is it about the forward depth that has impressed you? I mean, we've just found out as we heard on our SportsCenter update that Ryan O'Reilly on the COVID protocol list and Brandon Saad still on that protocol list. But even without those guys, for me, there's a little bit more faith now than what it was last year if you lost one of those names.
Well, you know what it is? It's because their young guys have come up and really played well. And if you look at the spread of their lines, they have at least one younger player, 23 and under type of player, I think, on each line. So it's spread evenly. And these are good players we're talking about. Kyrou has made a big difference, obviously. Robert Thomas is making a big difference. You know, a guy like Clint Costin's playing very well. Jake Neighbors is getting in there, and he's playing well. Then you have the veteran presence, too, when not on the COVID list, Ryan O'Reilly and David, you know, obviously Perron's not, Brandon Saad, and Pavel Buchnevich is working his way in with a goal and an assist. And, you know, look, I think, and they've gotten some life out of guys like James Neal and Tyler Bozak too. So it's been an impressive run here for them because, obviously Tarasenko too. How do you go without saying him? I like the way they're spread out with their young guys kind of not having to carry anything, but not being carried either.
We're talking to Dan Rosen of NHL.com. He's joining us here on BK and Ferrario. Dan, there, you mentioned it. The Blues are going to be likely without Ryan O'Reilly and Brandon Saad for the next couple of games here. What are you interested in finding out about this team while they're without Saad and O'Reilly?
Well, I think the most important thing is what you find out when you don't have Ryan O'Reilly, because here is a guy, he's a puck possession monster, right? I mean, he wins almost, you know, he wins 2/3 of every faceoff, 2 out of every 3 faceoffs he takes. So you're going to have to make up for that. Faceoffs aren't the end all be all. At the end of the day, once the puck is dropped and the sticks go together, it's a puck battle, right? So you got to win the puck battle. But O'Reilly is so good at winning puck battles, not just on faceoffs, but all over the ice. So are they going to have the puck as much? That's going to be a very interesting thing. And if they're not going to have the puck as much, it obviously puts a little bit more pressure on their D. And I don't mean they're six defensemen. I mean, their forwards backtracking to play D, and O'Reilly's one of the best at doing that too. So, I mean, this is like taking Anze Kopitar off of the Kings, Alex Barkov off of the Panthers, Patrice Bergeron, you know, off of the Bruins. That's what we're talking about here. And if you take, you know, you take a top two-way centerman, Selke Trophy winner off of out of your lineup, it's going to hurt. So are they going to have the puck as much as they've had it?
So, Dan, in terms of keeping the puck out of their net, that was a big issue for the Blues last season, and I think everyone looked at them and said, man, this is not going to be good if it continues this route. We've seen Justin Falk improve. Colton Parayko looks 100%. Where are you at just on the Blues defense core as a whole this season?
Yeah, well, that's the key, which you just said. Falk looks improved. I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of their game last night, but I read about it, and I saw highlights, and from what I saw and from what I read, it might have been his best game as a St. Louis Blue last, you know, and so that's a huge factor. Parayko is the key guy. I mean, you think about from the 2019 team, everybody that they've lost, right? Pietrangelo and Bouwmeester being the two that come to mind immediately, and also Vince Dunn. Pareko's the big guy that has to be the stalwart, and if he's not 100%, he's your number one defenseman. And if he's not 100%, it takes a lot out of your team. And you can ask, you know, Torrey Krug to do more and things along those lines. But Krug's an offensive guy, and he can play strong D. But you need that stalwart there on the back end, and Pareko's that guy. So if he's going to be healthy and playing the way we expect him to play, then it kind of trickle down. The trickle-down effect really does help. You don't have guys having to do more than they're probably capable of at doing at a successful level or a consistent level. And that's huge. And so you're seeing that. Plus, look, I mean, Billy Huso is great, and Binnington's been solid in his 4 starts.
Final question that I've got for Dan Rosen of NHL.com. Dan, I was stunned, absolutely stunned, when the Blues actually went into the season with Vladimir Tarasenko still on the roster. I thought there was no way that that would end up being the case. And I underestimated once again Doug Armstrong going into the season with Vladimir Tarasenko being on the roster. What was your level of surprise seeing that? And at this point, what are your expectations when it comes to his trade demand now that he's actually playing very well for the Blues on their third line?
Well, you know, look, you mentioned third line, so it's still a third line role for a guy who probably, you know, who still obviously believes he's a first line player and is playing like one right now. I wasn't surprised, to be honest with you, that he was still with the team. And the reason was is the shoulder. I didn't see where the Blues could get fair value, and I didn't see where the market was for Tarasenko, because you're talking about a guy with 3 shoulder operations on the same shoulder in a short period of time. To me, there has to be a prove-it element that you can stay on the ice. And if you're going to go acquire a guy and pay him $7.5 million this year and next year, there has to be, that guy has to be on the ice. And he can't have a bad shoulder come to you with a bum shoulder. So I thought, even though he wanted to be traded and demanded the trade or requested the trade, the Blues were kind of hamstrung in that sense that they weren't just going to give him away, and they weren't going to, you know, and they weren't going to take less value for him. But getting the value that they felt that they could get was probably going to be hard because of the shoulder. So bring him in, play him, see how he does, and then see what happens after that. He's still signed through next season, so it's not like you're looking at a situation where you're like, I got to trade this guy anyway. I think if things keep going the path they're going, and he's scoring goals like he did the other night, like he did last night, I mean, my goodness, why would he want to leave?
Dan, final one from me. You had the piece with your coworker on NHL.com. There's four undefeated teams still in the National Hockey League, and you and your coworker, Tom, believed that the Blues would be the last one standing. With this news of Ryan O'Reilly and still Brandon Saad, do you still believe that?
Well, I mean, it's going to be hard, no question about it, especially with Colorado coming into town Thursday night. That's going to be a difficult test. So I'm not going to back away from it now. But I mean, I'm not as confident as I was, you know, let's say that. How about, you know, we'll see after tomorrow night, because Florida plays at home against Boston, and they're the biggest challenger for this in my estimation. And if Florida dumps out, then maybe St. Louis does have a chance playing Thursday. I think Carolina doesn't play until Thursday either. I think Edmonton plays tonight. I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, look, I'm not going to back away from it. I said it, so let's go with it. Now, Edmonton doesn't play tonight.
I like it. I like it, Dan.
It's going to be really hard for these other undefeated teams to outlast the 82-0 Blues, so I don't know how that's going
to
work.
There you go. It's hard to do, yeah.
We appreciate the time, as always, man. Thanks for hopping on with us today. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thanks, Dan.
Absolutely. That's Dan Rosen of NHL.com. You can hear him on the Rink podcast for NHL.com and read his work over there as well.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.